Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Before we get to the podcast, might I encourage you to please join us in not retreating? Perhaps you've noticed in your newsfeed a lot of pressure on Christians to retreat, whether it is in the form of legislation, in persecution, or just outright bias. We are determined to stand firm, not water down the truth, and continue to make resources that encourage and equip the saints to defend and share their faith. We also love to support and undergird local churches, and we are determined to do so. And right now we have a matching gift campaign, which means if you join us now as a gospel partner, your gift will double. Would you please consider joining us on our mission as we are determined to not retreat. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
I'm here to announce a groundbreaking discovery, y'all. Apparently, modern psychology has pinpointed something never before seen by mankind. Exciting, right? Actually, I'm here to be a bubble buster. Totally about to rain on your parade. Nothing new to see here. This is something the Bible diagnosed 3,000 years ago or more. Cue the ominous soundtrack and tune in with me to a scene that we're all familiar with. Welcome to the book of Genesis, Genesis 3. The serpent walks up to Eve and doesn't identify himself with a pitchfork and red horns. He actually starts with a question. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" AKA, are you sure you heard that right, Eve? That's step one of this insidious tactic that is as old as time. Make the person question reality, question truth. And Eve, she's in the process of being deceived, and she doesn't ask God for confirmation, or her husband for that matter. She answers with part of what God said and with her own additions. And then the serpent escalates the situation. "You will not surely die," he says, Genesis 3:4. Now we've moved from putting doubt in her mind about truth to flat out contradicting truth. And then the final twist. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil," Genesis 3:5. Last step, turn the authority into the bad guy. Now God is the villain, and somehow Eve has been turned into some kind of a victim. Congratulations, you just watched the first gaslighting campaign in human history. And the strategy hasn't changed. Gaslighting isn't new. It didn't start on Facebook or in your office or in your family. It started in Genesis 3. The first gaslighter, Satan. The serpent basically told Eve, "Hey, you're not crazy. God is lying. He's withholding good things from you. God is mean." Welcome to the original psychological manipulation. And modern culture runs the same script. Culture says gaslighting is when someone manipulates you into doubting reality. The gaslighter replaces truth with deception to advance an ungodly agenda. Gaslighting is a slimy tactic where manipulators twist reality to make you doubt your own sanity. Think Pharaoh sneering at the Israelites as they were crying slavery, and he called it mere laziness, Exodus 5:8. Or fools in Proverbs spewing lies to wreck lives. Biblically, it's the devil's playbook, and culture just runs those plays right along with him. Truth is, we're being gaslit constantly. Men can become women. Absolute truth doesn't exist. Your feelings determine reality. Your lived experience is the authority. And if you disagree, you're hateful. You're dangerous. You're the problem. And the Bible already warns about this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, Isaiah 5:20. But this isn't just a big picture cultural issue. I get emails often from women, not just in the United States, who are dealing with this in a very real way in their personal lives. Spouses, friends, family members, church members engaged in spiritual manipulation, attempting to rewrite what actually happened in a situation, and ultimately perpetuating lies and what 2 Peter 2:1 calls destructive heresies, all for their own gain. You know, to keep the altar to self intact. People who function in this sinful way might tell you what you're thinking rather than asking you what you're actually thinking. This is not a gallant effort to understand you. Gaslighters make tons of statements, but you will rarely catch them asking anyone any questions, and certainly not questions of how they feel or what they think about something. The goal is to convince you of their superior opinion and point of view. And after months and years of being worn down like this, surrender almost becomes inevitable. Isn't it just easier to go along with it than keep fighting what is surely a losing battle? Scripture actually warns about these types of manipulative people. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, says these folks have seared consciences. So how are we supposed to tackle this from a biblical perspective? If you've listened to the show before, you know that one thing we have to do as Christians is use biblical language to describe stuff the world is putting new terminology to. I can't ask you to turn to Proverbs and find the verse that references gaslighting because it's not there. That's just a new word for an old reality. The great news is when we use biblical language, we get biblical answers, solutions, hope, wisdom. And when it comes to gaslighting, Scripture has lots of words to explain what a gaslighter engages in. Gaslighting is all about manipulation. This is a person who not only desires to control, but demands it. And they use manipulation to try and gain that control over other people. This is like an addict doing whatever it takes to get his fix. And the altar this kind of person erects demands worship on their terms. This is self-worship at its ugliest, demanding that their influence should be the ultimate final word. Not only self-worship, but also loving self more than others, and even worse, more than God. The gaslighter is totally in love with himself and demands that everyone else love him just as much. So much sin is involved: lying, deceit, moral superiority, self-righteousness. I am so much better than you, and I know it, and I'm going to make sure you know it too. Oh, and anger. Anger is a big one when it comes to gaslighting. It really is the driving force. There's anger in the form of resentment towards the other person. The gaslighter harbors resentment towards the person they seek to manipulate because they won't comply completely with this worship system they've set up. See how much it helps to use biblical language? Recognizing and responding in a biblically grounded way is essential when navigating these relational struggles. And not just biblical language. Biblical content can help us understand gaslighting too. This wasn't just an Eve in the garden, serpent lying up a storm one-off. Jesus dealt with this constantly. The religious leaders, they were always trying to undermine him. They looked at the sinless Son of God, the embodiment of truth, and said, "You have a demon," John 8:48. Imagine the arrogance of this statement. This is gaslighting on steroids. They're staring at Jesus Christ and telling him he's the crazy one. That's the ultimate gaslighting move, when the guilty accuse the innocent and try to make truth look insane. But Jesus, he doesn't play along. He says this, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word," John 8:43. In other words, the issue isn't confusion. The issue is rebellion. People don't reject the truth because they can't see it. They reject the truth because they don't want it. And here's the irony. Humanity gaslights itself against God on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis. Romans says, we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's in Romans 1:18. Yeah, thanks God for your input, but no way that's right. We tell ourselves, God isn't fair, or my sin isn't that bad, or how about all that time you spend justifying your choices? God understands I'm going through a hard time right now. He'll show me grace. He's not going to judge me right now. I mean, how unfair would that be? But the cross destroys every lie. At the cross, truth is exposed. Sin is judged and grace is offered through Jesus. But the cost is putting to death that self-worship, that loving self so much, that demand to keep your altar intact. Gaslighting works best when people lose confidence in truth, when they're ignorant of the truth, and when they choose not to listen to the truth. Scripture tells believers to anchor somewhere solid. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Reality, truth is not determined by psychologists or psychiatrists or your feelings or what the government says. Reality is not what you see as you're scrolling on your phone. And reality is not buying in to every conspiracy theory that runs across your newsfeed. Reality is determined by God, by truth, by His truth, the only truth that is actually true. And God's truth is found in one place and one place only. John 17:17, your word is truth. God's word anchors reality. So that's your first line of defense. Don't pull an Eve. Ask God. Look for truth in His word. And here's the good news. Because despite our rebellion, despite our truth twisting, God doesn't abandon us to lies. He sent Jesus. Jesus doesn't just speak truth. He is the truth. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Which means when the world tries to convince you that reality is whatever you feel today, Christians stand on something far more stable. Not personal truth, not cultural truth, God's truth. And that truth does something gaslighting never can. It doesn't manipulate. It doesn't distort. It doesn't change per the situation. It sets people free. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. Bottom line, truth isn't hidden. It's waiting for you right there in the Word. So open your Bible. The Holy Spirit will meet you there. Read it slowly. Speak it out loud. Let it shape your thinking and soften your heart. Because every time you run to the truth of His word, the enemy loses ground. Gaslighting thrives in darkness, but God's word dispels the darkness and shines a bright light.
And we'll be back with more from Libby in just a moment. You hear a word like gaslighting now, and people act like modern psychology has uncovered something completely, totally new in the world. But Scripture had this stuff pegged all the way back in Genesis 3. And that's really the heart of what Libby's getting at today. Hey, that's one of the reasons gospel partnership with us here at Fortis Institute matters, because it helps us to continue producing content that's going to deal with issues just like this, using biblical categories instead of just borrowing whatever language the culture is using this week. Because once you start to use the world's terms for everything, it doesn't take too long before you start reaching for the world's answers too. Hey, look, if you support us here at Fortis Institute, we are grateful. But if you're not already a gospel partner, we're still grateful for you because you're listening and consuming the content that we're creating. But if you have an opportunity in your life where you might could possibly join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, I'd love to point you to fortisinstitute.org right now. And while you're there, take a look at Fortis Plus. You'll find a link directly to Fortis Plus. It's free, completely free, and you'll find more teaching from more voices like Libby's and our other fellows who are willing to deal honestly with the confusion of the age instead of just taking it and putting a little Christian ease on it. It is absolutely free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything. You can download Fortis Plus from wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can also go to fortisplus.org. Now, let's get back to Libby Glossin. This is The Better Way.
Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Before we dive back in, just a quick reminder. If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, would you just hit the follow button? If you're on Apple, if you'll leave a review, it really helps more people find the show. Or if you're on Spotify, a quick star rating is going to do the same thing. Either way, you'll be sure not to miss an episode. So before the break, we were talking about how God's word, the truth, capital T, is our best defense against whatever gaslighting might get thrown in our direction. It's our one sure way to discern truth from lies. Ask God what he said, right, Eve? So how about some truth for you to tuck in your back pocket for today, your scripture flashlight, if you will, to light your path? Grab a pen or your notes on your phone and go check these out. Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. This is the reality of a gaslighter. And if you know them well, keep this truth in mind when you're interacting. You're dealing with a fool who only wants to get her side heard. And if this is a lost person, a person who has not come to saving faith, she can't get unfoolish until her heart is made new, until God opens her understanding. So patience, grasshopper, keep standing firm on the truth of God's word and trust God to do what only he can. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Kind of like we turn that gaslighter inside out, isn't it? The antithesis of the description of the reality of the master manipulator is these verses in 1 Corinthians. Real love doesn't gaslight. It doesn't delight in evil. It doesn't keep score. It doesn't demand its own way. Those who do show themselves to be in good company with that devil from the garden, snakes in snakes' clothing. One more for good measure. Romans 16:18. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Manipulation, deception, marks of the gaslighter. And the verse right before this tells us what to do. Avoid them. So speaking of that, what's the antidote? What is the prescribed, biblically informed, God-honoring way to walk forward in a society that's plagued by gaslighters? What about the gaslighters in your life? What's a girl to do? Are we just supposed to completely avoid anyone who we suspect to be a gaslighter? What about that episode where I told you not to buy into the cultural propensity to cut the toxic people out of our lives? Well, listen. Before you just board up the shop, cut bait, and run, how about you make a biblical appeal first? Maybe this person in your life is just completely unaware or has a blind spot to this area of sin in their life. Galatians 6:1, we're supposed to restore those caught in sin with gentleness. What a beautiful opportunity for you to love a sister well with the truth. If this is a person in your church, you have the Matthew 18 protocol if the appeal doesn't get their attention. Involve another mature Christian that's noticed the issue. Appeal again. This is important for both you and her. And hey, if you know this person is not a believer, guess what? You have yourself an evangelism opportunity. The gospel hits the gaslighter right smack in the heart. Ain't about you. It's all about Jesus. Side note. Actually, I should say main note. Did you know that you have what Rick Thomas calls an internal clarity checker? Yes, Christians have a conscience that God has given us to help us determine sin in our lives so that we can repent and be restored in fellowship with God. But that's not what I'm talking about here. Your illuminator that lives in you, if you're a born-again Christian, is a member of the Trinity. That internal clarity checker is the Holy Spirit, to be exact. We can be manipulated, deceived, lied to, and believe it, but not him. So if you find yourself in a pool of doubt, doubting not only if you know the truth, but even if you have the ability to discern it, don't despair. Rick Thomas, that guy I mentioned a minute ago, he outlines an easy-to-remember fourfold check and balance system given to us by God in one of his articles on gaslighting. This provides a biblically grounded framework for discerning truth, especially in relationships with difficult people. It ensures alignment with God's word by cross-verifying our thoughts and impressions across Scripture with the Holy Spirit's help, with wise counsel, and taking into consideration your inner conviction. I hope Rick won't mind. I expanded on it a bit to make it even more helpful to us. First check and balance is the cannon, C-A-N-O-N, not that thing that fires off the back of pirate ships, the canon of Scripture. The Bible is our authority. So start here. Measure every thought against what Scripture explicitly says. The Bible is the unchanging standard, Hebrews 4:12, like we talked about before. If you're doubting, ask if your thinking aligns with commands, like love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, or warnings against deception, like Proverbs 14:22. Those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. This prevents subjective feelings from overriding God's revealed will and his truth from his word. Second check and balance is the comforter. So you got the canon and the comforter, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. So test how the Spirit is guiding your mind. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be our counselor. He would guide us into all truth and bear witness to Christ's reality. In practice, does that prompting of the Holy Spirit bring godly conviction? If it stirs confusion or strife, it might not be from him. 1 John 4:1, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. The Spirit, capital S, illuminates Scripture and confirms or corrects our thoughts. Third is community. So canon, comforter, and community. This is the wisdom of the faithful people that are around you. So seek input from trusted believers who know your situation. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there's safety. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. In relationships, a mature friend might spot patterns that you miss. Iron sharpens iron, right? This guards against isolation and any place that deception might thrive. And last but not least is your conscience, your personal conviction. So examine your inner sense of rightness. God gave us a conscience as the law written on our hearts, which the Spirit can sharpen. So in your relationship, does it signal unresolved sin, like unconfessed bitterness? Our consciences, remember, can be seared. So submit to the prior three checks that I talked about first and never use this as a standalone. God's word needs to always be your ultimate source of authority. And balancing all of these as means of grace, as God's equipping to wield the truth as a sword that helps us to cut through deception for clarity and freedom. Confusion is never where God's truth leaves us, because God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. When manipulation and distortion enter a relationship, that's not coming from the heart of God. That's why we say the enemy has always worked through deception. All the way back to the garden in Genesis, he didn't outright lie to Eve. He started by twisting what God said, and that question planted doubt. And that's the same tactic that still shows up today. Our culture talks a lot about speaking your truth. But as believers, we're called to something even stronger. We stand on the truth, not opinion, not manipulation, not someone else's rewritten version. God's word is the standard that never shifts. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. That means the truth isn't just a bunch of old words on a page. It's alive. It moves. It cuts through the noise of our world and goes straight to the heart, not to harm us, but to give us power and wisdom. So when the deception starts, whether from the enemy, from the world, or from our own minds, That's when we need to pick up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and stand firm in the truth, because truth isn't an opinion. When we hold on to His Word, we're actually holding on to Him, and that is incredibly freeing, and it's a solid ground on which to stand, because when you've been gaslit, whether in a relationship or at work or school or even in family dynamics or with your friends, it can feel like the ground beneath you is constantly moving. But Scripture gives us solid ground again and again. God's truth anchors us when everything else feels unstable. If you've been in the path of a gaslighter recently, you might need to take a step back. Renew your mind with Scripture. Romans 12:2. Transformation happens when our minds are renewed. The more we fill our hearts with what God says, the easier it becomes to recognize what isn't from Him. You start to notice the difference between conviction and manipulation, between loving correction and control, between truth and distortion. His Word is the lamp unto your feet. And now that you know the better way to think about what culture calls gaslighting and how you can navigate it with biblical clarity and truth, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.